Hey guys, welcome back to another episode here on Whiskey Throttle Media. I'm your host, Brent Bowser. Before we jump in the podcast, I want to give a shout out to Factory Connection for coming on board and sponsoring our podcast. They're a big supporter of Whiskey Throttle Media. Lots of our test bikes have Factory Connection suspension on them, and they just do really good work. They've been around a long time. They offer lots of different services for your suspension, full rebuilds, revalve, pretty much everything suspension related that you need, you can get done at Factory Connection. So if you haven't had a chance, go on to factoryconnection.com and see what products and services they have available. We're here today with Gas writer Ava Silvestri. Hey, Ava, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Appreciate you taking the time to jump on and chat with us. It's been fun to get to talk to all the different folks in the off-road side of things. But before we get too far, just go ahead and give us a little bio about yourself, you know, who you are, where you're from, when you started riding, just things that people who don't know you wouldn't know about you.
My name's Ava Silvestri. I'm 20 years old. I'm from Redwood City, California, NorCal. I just turned 20. So I think I'm on my 10th year now racing dirt bikes. This is my fourth year professionally racing. It's been a great time so far. I mean, I've enjoyed it. Can't complain. I've done a lot so far in, you know, a short period of time, and I'm happy with that. And, you know, I wouldn't change it for the world. You know, women in dirt bikes is, you know, definitely growing a lot recently. So, you know, I'm happy to be a part of that.
Yeah, that's cool. And so you're based out of NorCal. Are you still living up there, or do you ride and train in other place?
I still live in NorCal. I'm more near the Bay Area, but I travel all over NorCal side, you know, go farther north up near more like Grass Valley, Auburn area, and then even farther down near like Hollister and stuff.
Gotcha. Okay. So you're up. Yeah. I'm from Bakersfield, so a little south of you, but I know that area you're talking about for sure.
Yeah.
So growing up, did you play any other sports? Were you, did you go to school? Or were you homeschooled? Like, how'd you grow up and what were you into?
Yeah, definitely growing up, I was always an active kid. Both my parents, they were very super active, you know, from mountain biking and everything, and, you know, just water sports and stuff and like boating and stuff. But mainly, honestly, growing up, I played a lot of soccer and I did gymnastics for a while. And, you know, dirt bikes, like I tried them a couple times just because that was like more like my dad. That was obviously how I got into it, was because of him, as he used to race and everything. And that's his business, is he's a dirt bike repair and like suspension motor rebuilds, basically all that type of stuff.
Oh, cool.
And so that's like how I got into it. But I mean, I never really, like, I would just go do it for fun, like on the weekend, right, every once in a while, like once in the blue moon. But eventually when I like turned like, I think 8 or something, I like kind of like started riding again. And then, but at the same time, I was also doing travel soccer. So, you know, I kind of eventually got to the point where my parents were like, you kind of have to choose, you know, which one to you want to do, because they were both super expensive, obviously, you know. A lot of sports, you got to, you know, basically when you get to a certain age, you have to put in commitment to one, and you can't really do them all. But yeah, I mean, like I said, probably around maybe when I was like 10, that was like when I had to make that decision. And then I went to public school basically my whole, like from everything from elementary school, middle school, up until my like junior year of high school, was just when COVID happened. So I went to public school basically the whole time, and then up until my junior year in high school, which is obviously, like I said, when COVID happened.
Yeah.
And then basically I finished out my junior year and senior year homeschooled. And then, yeah, now I haven't gone to community college or college or anything. I'm kind of just figuring out, you know, racing at the moment and, you know, taking full advantage of being able to do that full time. So,
yeah, it's got to be kind of nice not having to go to school then ride, where you're just like, okay, I think I'm going to ride now.
So. Yeah, definitely. And that's also definitely what helped a lot too. Mm-hmm. Like the last 2 years of high school was that the fact that it was homeschooled, you know, I could just be like, okay, I'm going to go ride. You know, I don't have to wait till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I can just, you know, go ride in the morning and then be like, okay, I'll go through my school later.
Yeah, it's, you don't really hear that often anymore in, you know, motocross, supercross, off-road. Most of the time, these kids, you know, they're homeschooled, and then, or the ones that you see that switch from school to homeschool, you see the improvement real quick. So you really almost can't get there anymore unless that's what you do, you know? It's very rare, it seems like. So that's cool. So when you were younger up there in NorCal, were you more of a track rider, or you always been into off-road, or have you always done a little bit of both?
Definitely always been more off-road. You know, like I said, when I first started riding, it was more just like going intro riding with my dad and his friends and all that. So it was obviously, for the most part, always just like kind of off-road stuff, or we just go like, you know, make like little like skag tracks out like in, you know, probably illegal areas. But I mean, that was for the most part, like a lot of the stuff that I did. I didn't really like get into like moto that much until probably, I mean, like there's a lot, I mean, just because there's a lot of like local moto stuff in NorCal for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I probably didn't really get into it until like, honestly, 2019 probably was when I first like kind of started doing like a lot of the local stuff. And then that was when after that, I was kind of like, I kind of want to go do like Mammoth and like Loretta's and stuff. And then I went and did that for like 3 years. And then now we're just back to off-road.
Yeah. Do you prefer off-road more? Something you're more comfortable with, and probably, it's probably cool. Like you said, you went to Loretta's and things like that, but you prefer off-road more?
You know, I mean, it's definitely fun to be able to do both. And I feel like, in my opinion, off-road riders, I feel like it's, you know, a little more difficult to move over to the moto side if you, I mean, obviously if you're doing that, like if you plan on switching full time, but like just because we're used to longer races and stuff. Right. So it's like those shorter motos, like I definitely struggled a lot when like qualifying for Loretta's and stuff, because it was only like four lap motos, and that's like maybe 7 minutes depending on like, because a lot of the tracks that like, or because I would qualify at the Riverfront track all the time, and like it was, like I said, it was like 7 minutes, not even like a full 10 minute moto. So it's like, I would struggle. Like that was like what I would struggle with. Mm-hmm. And like, even like going to Loretta's, even though they were like still 20 minute motos, it was like, you know, I'd get to the end of the 20 and be like, okay, like I still got a lot more to go. But then at the same time, it's like, that's when the checkered flag's thrown. But like,
yeah,
I also feel too, it's beneficial. Like I said, it's more beneficial for the, you know, moto guys or girls, whoever, whatever, that want to switch over to maybe off-road full-time. I feel like it's a lot easier for them just because, you know, it's at least nowadays how, like, I guess moto related, like the NGPC and I guess work series are now. Like, I feel like it's not super difficult, but, you know, going from, you know, doing an hour and a half race to 20 minute moto, it's kind of just hard to learn and be like, okay, I'm going to go right now.
Yeah, no, definitely. And yeah, and I've raced, worked in NGPC for a long time. And like you said, it's like a glorified moto track nowadays, right? Which is great, which is great. I love it. Rode moto my whole life. And now I'm a vet 30 class. I think I have the best race of the weekend. It's like the second one on Saturday, or, you know, so, but yeah, so when I always tell people like, oh, I race off-road, they're probably thinking like rocks and huge.
Yeah, course. Definitely.
It's basically a groomed, you know, motocross track. Which is great, but no, that's cool. And then I see, so yeah, off-road. So I was looking at, you know, growing up or when you started in some of these series, it looks like you've done some hair scrambles, you did works, you did NGPC. What's been your favorite so far since you've done so many, and like, what have you enjoyed the most?
I think I've raced every single series on the West Coast. I think probably, well, growing up, mainly, like, I just raced the local off-road hair scrambles, District 36, and then eventually moved on to the Western Hair Scramble Series, which is actually what I currently race right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I raced that for, like, I think 4 years, maybe 3 years, 4 years. And it was, like, at the time, it was more, like, it was just kind of, like, a smaller version, or, like, not, like, smaller, but, like, in the sense of just, like, the same type of terrain as like Hare and Hounds, but just in the sense of, instead of doing long, like 100 miles total, you would just obviously do laps, and it was like a hair scramble format instead of obviously Hare and Hound format, just same terrain.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think 2019, I started racing works, which is kind of, I was introduced to works before I was introduced to NGPC, which is obviously, it was Big Six at the time, but I raced works. I really, like, at first I feel like when you first obviously get introduced to that type of racing in that series, it's like you have a lot more like fun, I guess, with it. And obviously at the same time, I was obviously not pro yet, so
yeah.
That too obviously has a lot to do with it, but it was a lot of fun racing works. And then like starting out, you know, obviously not, like, I feel like if I would have started my first year racing any of these series in the pro class, it obviously would have been a lot different. But
yeah,
I think, you know, now racing hair scrambles and it's a lot more tight and technical stuff and like in the trees a lot more, and which is what I grew up riding. So I definitely like the hair scramble series. But I mean, I don't know. I'm more so to say that I'd have like favorite races than a favorite series. Like
yeah,
I
missed sure,
the Hound series, and it was good to obviously like do something different compared to like everything, which is like the norm. Cause I feel like a lot of people on the West Coast, they just go directly to, they're attracted directly to NGBC and then yeah, the work series. But you know, I feel like you get kind of burnt out, especially since both of those series go to two, like for the most part, a lot of their rounds are the same.
Yeah.
So we mm-hmm. go to the same places at least twice a year,
right,
depending on, you know, the, how many times each series goes there. But in 2022, I raced three series. I raced NGBC, West Hair Scramble, and then the National Hare and Hound, which was a lot. But I mean, like I said, I wouldn't say I really have a pinpoint on a specific series that is my favorite. But I think in the sense of a year that of racing, yeah, I think 2022 is probably one of my favorites, just because I was able to do so much and see that like I could excel in every single one of them and like do good in every single one. So, I mean, I think that was kind of like one of the more fun years for me in like racing and then being a pro and all that.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting. I talked to some of the guys on the pro side, the off-road that race, you know, the Grand Prix, and then they'll race NGPC and the Western Hare Scrambles. And I'd like to ask them totally different types of off-road, right? You know, Grand Prix is more fast and all that. The hair scrambles are more tight. And is it hard to go back and forth when you're doing both series like that? Like, because they're obviously totally different on the ends of the spectrum on how you ride. Is it hard to go back and forth, or is it just something you got used to?
For me, it's more like, I mean, a little bit, yes, just in the sense, obviously, because yes, it is completely different. And because obviously, for the most part in NGBCs, yeah, it is a lot of just like extremely high intensity, high speed. Whereas like, obviously, for me, for the pro men, it's more a longer race in the hair scrambles. Obviously, the ones that do race hair scrambles. But for me, hair scrambles and NGBC, the total race time is the same. Mm. So I don't have a problem with that or anything. It's just the hour and a half in hair scrambles is not as like a lot different than obviously an hour and a half in NGBCs. Yeah. Because I feel like NGBCs, you're just the whatever gate drops, light goes off, whatever it is at during the weekend. But as soon as that happens, you're just basically hammered down from, you know, the 1 second to an hour and a half, and then you're done. And then it's just basically like hammer down. And it's definitely, you know, hard to, in my opinion, it's harder to go from hair scrambles to NGBCs instead of vice versa, just because I feel like I excel more in the tight stuff in the hair scrambles, just because that's what I grew up doing. So it's kind of just more like a easy, you know,
natural
fix for me. But like, obviously the whole, like, I guess whatever people want to call it, desert stuff, you know, switching back to that is like hard to, more so just in the sense of like being comfortable going those speeds. But I mean, I just feel like that's the name of the game nowadays, just being able to be comfortable, like actually going the high speeds that we are like going. Cause I feel like the level's definitely been raised a lot lately, especially, I mean, obviously I'd pay attention to the men, but for the woman, I feel like definitely it's definitely raised a lot.
Yeah. And it's cool to see. I was looking at both series that you're doing, and, you know, you're racing a lot of some of the same girls in both series. And it's interesting where like they'll get you in the Grand Prix side and you'll get them on the hair scramble side and vice versa. Right. So it's cool that you guys kind of have your own specialty, I would say. I mean, you can get each other on both. Right. But you know, some are better at some things than the others. So it's cool. And it's gotta be fun that you go to this race and, you know, okay, well, they're good at this, and you go to this race, you know, they're good at that. So it has to be pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, it also is nice to like have the same competition at both series, so that it's like, I mean, obviously I'm not sure if everybody looks at it like this, but sometimes, you know, if like I'm getting beat by one person in one series, then it's like, okay, if I go to the other series, but they're not there, and then I go win, then it's kind of like, ah, well,
right.
You know, So it's nice to have, you know, the same competition in both. So it doesn't make you feel like, you know, oh, well, I only won because they weren't there, or I only, yeah. So, I mean, it's nice to have that. Mm-hmm. And also just in the sense of, since there's not a lot of pro women, it's just, you know, nice to see women at all the series and, you know, just see bodies on the line. And I mean, regardless of, you know, if they're going to beat you or you're going to beat them or anything, but I definitely, I mean, too, like to take a lot of pride in the fact that I feel like I can do a lot of, you know, different type of racing and, you know, still be pretty good at it. And, you know, I feel like it's kind of like there's a lot of people that are super like one-sided and are, you know, their specialty is one thing. And then I just feel like I am happy that I'm where I'm at, that I can, you know, go to a lot of different series and, you know, still do good.
Yeah, definitely. No. And that's the difference is, you know, the guys that grow up, guys and girls would go around racing moto and that's all they do. They're so used to that, where the off-road, you guys are so much different terrain and riding, you know, riding areas and technique and stuff like that. So it's totally two different worlds. And I was going to say, so you, you know, you're battling with Michaela and Caitlin, and I know Brandi Richards came back last year.
Yeah.
What can you say? And you said, you know, the women, it's getting, the levels getting raised, and you're happy to see like more women coming out. We went through WMX, you know, stopped racing. I think it was like over 10 years ago now. And
yeah,
you know, we went through the highs and lows of women in racing. What is something you think that we could do to help attract more girls to get out there and race and, or, you know, ride and stuff like that, especially at your level?
I mean, it's kind of hard to say just because I know it's like, it's, you know, I just feel like the woman, you know, we get to like a certain level in like age and stuff, not like we're, you know, it sounds bad, but like, you know, guys, I feel like they kind of try to chase the dream a lot longer. Whereas if woman, you know, they might be more realistic and like, okay, maybe this isn't going to work out, just because it's hard to like, it's hard for the woman, I feel like, just because there's no, like, we've had Casey Martinez, which, at least in off-road, obviously, which is, like, she was the pinnacle of, like, she, you know, she proved that, you know, you could get factory support and be on a factory team and, you know, maintain it for multiple years. Like, it wasn't just, like, a one-year thing. And, obviously, there's a lot of other, and, you know, factory support is finally, like, back now, like, because now, obviously, there's Corey Steed and there's Brandi Richards and there's Rachel Archer, and there's just a lot of women that, you know, now they have that factory support, and the factories, I feel like in general, are definitely putting out a lot more support. So I feel like that was definitely something that kind of maybe discouraged a lot of women, was, you know, maybe not seeing as much support for the woman side of it. And don't get me wrong, obviously I'm in the woman side of it, so I will still say, obviously, it's definitely not equal between the men and the woman, but I mean, there's, it kind of just takes a specific kind of girl or woman or whatever to, you know, put that to the side and still want to continue to do it, because, you know, obviously we're never going to get support if there's never anyone to give support to. So it's just more like, you know, I feel like it might be a little intimidating for the woman and girls like coming up, just because it's, they do see how much like the bar has been raised. And, you know, I would say we've definitely raised it a lot within the last couple of years, just because, you know, we're all, in a way, we were all trying to chase Brandi down, and, you know, that's a whole new, you know, top of the step to that we're just trying to get to. And it's definitely possible. Like, when I first turned pro, I thought that was something that was, you know, near to impossible, just because of how, you know, much of a good rider she is, and like everything that she just does on the bike and how she handles herself and everything. And, you know, being in that position, I feel like, you know, she handles everything pretty well. Obviously, you know, she's moved to the East Coast now, and that's great for us over here, but I mean, it's great for her too as well, you know, to do something new. But I mean, even so, like, now that she's gone, it's like, I still feel like we're definitely, you know, pushing ourselves to try to, you know, get there. Cause like I said, I feel like it's a lot more possible, you know, now than it was maybe for me 4 years ago, but compared to now. So I feel like it's just kind of, you know, maybe discouraging to some of the women or girls, because they see the pace that we're going, and I can't lie. It's an aggressive pace that we're going at the moment. So it is definitely kind of scary. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's, you know, like I said, when I was talking about having to make a decision, you know, to commit to it fully, it's like you, then they might be at the place in racing where it's just like, it's just for fun. And, you know, they don't want to fully make that step in having to fully commit, because once you get to the pro class, it's a lot more than just, you know, like the bare minimum, I guess, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's definitely not like unattainable is what I would say for all the women that maybe would want to go pro, but don't want to, you know, make that final step. Just because, like I said, when I turned pro, I was so far off the pace of like even anyone, like not just Brandy, but like even anyone, like,
right.
So it's just, you know, honestly kind of just having to do it instead of just, you know, be like, ah, well, maybe not, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's it was fun to watch back in the day when they had the WMX races in the middle, you know, of the motocross races. And we had girls that had, you know, factory rides back then, and then that went away and it kind of seemed like we had this lull, right? So it's cool to see that you're out there and you have a pretty stacked class in both series that you're racing. So it's cool to see. And like you said, it may be good that Brandy went to the East Coast, gives you guys a little break, but no, it's cool to see that it's still going strong and you guys are starting to get the support that you guys deserve for sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, obviously I never had a problem with getting beat by Brandy, because obviously, like I said, I was more just like in awe of her ability on a motorcycle and all that. And because, like, I mean, obviously, you know, I feel like it's a thing where people are like, oh, well, like, she's fast for like a girl, but like, no, she's just straight up,
yeah,
like, she's fast. Like, mm-hmm. She was obviously putting it to the boys multiple times, many years in a row, you know. And so it's, you know, it's definitely like something that I always looked up to and wanted to reach, and definitely, you know, hopefully can eventually get to that point. But it's, like I said, it's definitely a lot more attainable now than it was, you know, for me 4 years ago, and maybe of course anyone else. So I think, you know, that might have also possibly like scared a lot of people away, as they're like, oh, well, you know, she's like so fast, and it's like, mm-hmm. if I'm not her speed, then I shouldn't be considered pro. But it's like, well, none of us are really her speed. So it's, I feel like, yeah, that's not like the level of what people should like expect in the pro class.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're used to it by now, because, you know, the level you're at. But how gratifying was it when you started to get better and better as you're growing up and you're starting to blow by some of the guys on the track? Like, I don't know if you still think of it now, but I'm sure that feeling was probably pretty cool, where you're just like, all right guys, I'm one of the best at the track today. So
yeah, I mean, definitely, obviously too, since, you know, boys, they definitely, you know, hit puberty and all that later and develop later. So obviously I feel like for the most part, for a lot of girls that I know too, that ride and all that, like, we were always faster when we were younger, and then obviously they hit puberty and then they're like, okay, see ya. But then obviously there's still,
yeah,
a lot of, you know, men and boys, whatever, that, you know, we're still like, they look at us and they're like, what? Like, oh my God, like that's a girl. But I mean, it's definitely, yeah, it's definitely good to see, you know, for, you know, for your self-confidence and all that, like, especially, you know, being at the pro level, it's so hard. I feel like it's little things to get to that next level. Like, it could be the smallest little thing, but then still like make you get the bigger jump to the next, like, I guess, plateau or whatever. Cause I feel like, mm-hmm. it's just, you climb a couple stairs, you're at a plateau for a while, and then, you know, climb those other couple stairs, then, you know, you sit at a plateau. It's just, it's definitely a slow process when you finally like get to that higher level. Whereas I feel like, which was one thing that was like always super discouraging for me, was like when I was, you know, an amateur or whatever, like I feel like I was making progression a lot faster, but it's like, yeah, obviously, because I was more kind of at the point,
you had more, like, room to grow,
fundamentals and stuff. Yeah. And trying to just find that like control and whatever on the motorcycle. But now it's just like, okay, well, I can't figure out what's wrong, like I'm sitting here, like I'm good, but I want to be better. But then, you know, like I said, it's like, it's little things, which is, it sucks, but it's, I mean, it's nice when it finally like clicks and then it works out. But then it's like, then you have to find that next click, and then, you know, so on.
Yeah, it's funny, because when you're growing up, you start progressing, then you get to a certain level, you know, so everybody gets to a different level, and that's kind of your plateau unless you take it serious and do all these little things to get better, where some people are like, that's just too much work, so they stay there forever, you know? So
yeah,
you get to that point and it's like, well, I guess I'll stay here, or then you're gonna have to do a whole lot of work to get to that next level. So it's definitely a choice you have to make. And
yeah,
I'm curious, when you're riding and racing, you know, if you're racing or if you're practicing, there's guys there, if you're racing and race with guys, do you think they ride you a little harder because you're a girl? Like if you know, if it was another guy, they'd be like, oh, I just go by. But because it's a girl, they know it's a girl, they're like, race you or, you know, practice against you harder.
I mean, definitely in, cause at least in the hair scramble race, like, for the pro woman, we're like the fastest people in the race. So I don't really have to worry about any guys coming and passing me. It's more just me passing them. But, obviously in the NGBCs, since we race in the pro race with the men and all that, and then the, you know, the A for whatever it is, four stroke A or whatever, since they start behind us, I definitely feel like they think that they should have the, you know, right away, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, and for us to get out of the way when they catch us. And it's like, I get it, you're catching me, but, you know, if you're a good enough rider and you're fast enough to catch me, then you should be able to pass me, since it's not like I'm taking up the whole track. And they kind of just, you know, they want to get a little big for their britches and, you know, kind of, I guess, you know, make it known that they're behind me or whatever. Or I don't know if they do it to every single girl or whatever, but, you know, they make it known that they're there. And it's like, I get it that you're there, just, but, you know, you could go by, like, I'm not blocking the whole track. So, yeah, I mean, they definitely do that, you know. Not sure, like I said, I'm not sure if they do it to every single person that they catch up to that they're passing, but, you know, it just, it, you should, I mean, in my opinion, don't do that to a girl, because obviously we're going to be like, you know, whatever, figure it out, like, go around.
I know, I can see you guys out there like, cool, we're just ramp, I'm just gonna stay right here.
Well, yeah, because it's, and I mean, I think about it all the time, because it's like, like, for the most part, I usually get lapped by like the top guys, like Dante and all them, and it's like they catch me and go by no problem. So it's like, if they can do it, why can't you?
Yeah No, for sure. I always wondered that, because I mean, it's like, and this is sad to admit, but like, I'll be on the track and I'll see some fast kid on a super mini. I'm like, is that kid really going faster than me? You know, it's just like little, these things that you always just wonder. So from a guy's perspective to a girl's, I'm like, I wonder if they think, you know, I can only imagine some guys are trying to race you a little harder because you're a girl and stuff like that. So I was just curious to hear your thoughts on it. So this year, you know, you're racing the NGPC. You've got a win, and you're, you know, you're racing against Kayla and Caitlin. And then are you also racing the hair scrambles this year as well?
Yes. The first round is actually this weekend. So haven't had a rack for that yet.
Gotcha. I mean, you have to be pretty stoked with your riding so far in the NGPC, you know, 2 seconds and a win. I mean, you got to be pretty happy.
Yeah, definitely. Can't complain. You know, I feel like the win was long overdue, you know, obviously since last year, Brandy being hurt, there was that basically left the top step open. And of course, that was also Michaela's first year in pro. So that also brought a new competitor in, which obviously I always welcome, because I want to see it and want to see the class grow. But obviously, you know, she's definitely, you know, a force to be reckoned with, and obviously, you know, came out on top. And it, that one stung for a little bit.
I was going to ask. Yeah.
Yeah. That one definitely stung a little bit, just because, you know, I was so close at the end there at the last round. But I mean, you know, you kind of got to take everything with a grain of salt and, you know, see what you did wrong, see what you did good, and, you know, figure it out, and then move on and take it into the next year. And, you know, being that, in a way, it wasn't really like too much of a, you know, stab in the heart for me, just because, you know, at the beginning of the year, I didn't really,
you didn't have that expectation.
Yeah. You know, going into the year, obviously, Brandy wasn't hurt, so it's like, you know, I don't want to say like I wasn't planning on winning a championship, but like it's obviously hard to bet against Brandy at the time. So you know, I will admit, like, you know, my progression from the first round to the last round was, you know, it's not even like super significant completely. So I was honestly just happy to be where I was at the last round. But like I said, I definitely feel like that win was long overdue. So, I mean, I'm definitely happy to finally get it. And I was a little worried because, you know, that was the third round and the rounds are just going to keep like firing off. I didn't really want it to go past like more than, I guess, the fourth round if I wasn't going to have a win anytime soon. But I'm glad to finally get that done at the third round. And like I said, I mean, the pace that we're running this year is it's definitely you know, it's high. It's definitely super high. And I mean, a lot of people can see it. And, you know, I feel like we don't see it as much just because we're out there. I've been told by a lot of people, like, the pace that we're running is, it's just significantly faster from last year. And like I said, I feel like that has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, obviously, yeah, we're chasing each other, but I feel like for a while, since we were just chasing Brandy, it was like, yeah, we didn't even know that we were like going that much faster, when it's just like, we're like, well, we're going faster, but
we're not catching her. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I could see that. And maybe a little bit more motivation. You know, Brandy left at the end of the year, like I said, went back east, and now that top spot's open. So, you know, more people are like, that could be me. Right. So that could elevate it for sure. And, yeah, no, it's cool. And I'm talking about last year, I saw, you know, you lost it by 3 points, you know, and Brandy came back at the end and kind of put that gap right in between you and Michaela a little bit. And
yeah,
and it was like a back and forth. I think going to the last round, right, if you would have got second, if she would have got third, you would have won. So yeah, that had to have been, that had been pretty hard. But again, like you said, the progress you made over the year, then, you know, where you're at now, looking back, it's like, it wasn't too bad.
Yeah. And I mean, especially just being able to make it through the year, like, you know, healthy and not injured and pretty, like, for the most part, pretty consistent, which is, you know, good for sometimes, you know, sometimes maybe like consistency is the second best thing to a win. So, you know, I mean, I'm happy to be where I'm at. And, you know, obviously the years are a lot longer when, you know, in off-road, since it's the whole year instead of like, obviously, for moto kids and whatever, they're obviously, you know, they have select races that are maybe like once every 3 months or something, or 2 months, whatever it is. So I feel like our years are a lot longer and we're, you know, more consistently throughout the year. And obviously there's some months where we're racing every single weekend. So just being able to like stay healthy, I guess, is kind of like a win in itself.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's cool. It was fun, you know, kind of catching up and hearing where you grew up and, you know, how you progressed through racing. Before I let you go, I want to ask you some fun, these are this or that questions. So I'll give you two words and you pick one. You don't have to explain why or whatever. You can if you want, but it's just, it's always, I was doing these at the beginning, but I'm like, you know, I'm going to put them at the end, just to make it a fun exit. So
yeah,
first one, Chipotle or Chick-fil-A?
Chipotle.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Beach or the mountains?
I'll probably just say mountains, just for the sense of riding.
Morning or night?
Definitely night.
Late or on time?
Oh, unfortunately late.
last one, travel back in time or travel to the future?
Definitely travel back in time.
Cool. Yeah, those are fun. And it's interesting to hear everyone's different favorites or whatever you want to call it. So, well, hey, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today. I'll give you a chance to, you know, give a shout out to the people that make what you do possible.
Oh yeah, of course. You know, of course I have to thank my whole family, my mom, my dad, my sister. You know, obviously they're the biggest supporters above everyone else. Of course, Gas, Motor Cafe, Troy Lee Designs, FMF, Blood Lubricants, Fast Company, Racer Decal, DDC, and just Dunlop, RKXL, and just all everyone else that helps me out, in case I forgot anybody, because I know I definitely did, but I appreciate everybody's support.
Awesome. Well, hey, good luck the rest of the year, and stay healthy.
Yep. Thank you.